It's 17 before 9, and Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson is with us now. And Ray, this, as you told me off the air on the phone earlier this week, this murder of this DA in Texas and his wife is hitting a little close to home, isn't it?
Well, it's what it is, Jack, is it's kind of an attack on people who are involved in the judicial process. They're attacking kind of the judicial process, and that really frightens people around the country. Last year there were 129 police officers in the line of duty that were killed. That doesn't get as much attention as these two guys, two prosecutors in Texas, and it should. When people are retaliating because these people are enforcing the law, or in the case of the prosecutors, prosecuting people, then that really creates concern in around the country, and it's a big issue. It's a big deal. Last thing we want to do is end up like Mexico, where anybody that's opposed to anybody ends up getting killed.
Right.
So it's this morning we're going to talk to Kathy Capps, who is the widow of Fred Capps, who was killed in his house in 2000. And I want to talk to Kathy a little bit about it. She's a tough woman and a good woman, and she's going to come on and talk to us a little bit. And we also have Sergeant Todd Phillips, who is pretty knowledgeable about gangs and the Aryan Brotherhood, which is suspected to be involved in this whole assassination business in Texas.
And possibly even the one in Colorado, right? Even though they haven't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could be anyway.
That's right.
All right, that's coming up 9 to 10 here on News Talk 590 WVLK.
News Talk 590 WVLK. And now, here's Jack Patty.
Good morning and welcome into the 9 to 10 show. This is American DA Live, a Forensic Friday, and Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson is with us this morning. Ray, good morning.
Good morning, Jack.
And you brought along some guests. We have a studio guest as well as one on the phone. Introduce them to us, please, sir.
Well, in the news lately has been this assassination of a prosecutor in Texas, and just 2 months earlier there'd been assassination of one of his assistants, and they killed the prosecutor's wife as well. And, you know, anytime something like that happens, the first person I ever think of is Kathy Capps. Kathy is the wife of Fred Capps, who was shot and killed in his own home back in June of 2000. And Kathy was in the house along with her two children. And Fred was beloved by prosecutors in Kentucky. And as a really a tough, no-nonsense, straight shooting kind of a guy, and he was shot and killed. And we've all, with prosecutors, have become friends and respecters of Kathy Capps. And I asked Kathy if she would be willing to come on, talk a little bit about the all of that and how the impact of it on she and her family. And Kathy,
good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Ray.
How you doing?
Thanks for asking me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on with us.
I know that you are affected the same way, probably more than most, when something like that incident in Texas happened. So talk to us a little bit about how you reacted and that sort of thing.
Well, my heart just breaks for this family primarily, but also for the community. I don't know how close-knit this community is, but the community suffers and the legal community suffers, not only in Kaufman County, but nationwide, as it did when Fred was murdered. It's devastating, and it makes us all rethink many aspects of our life and of the system.
You know, Todd Phillips is a sergeant with our police department. Is going to come on and talk to us after a little bit about the Aryan Brotherhood prison gangs. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him this morning that there were 129 police officers that were killed in the line of duty in America last year. And why does the killing of a police officer in the line of duty, and why does the assassination of a prosecutor affect so many people? Because, I mean, the people who are killed are no more special than anybody else. But
it goes to the heart of our safety and the sanctity of our communities and of our it affects everybody, because these are the people who are supposed to keep the citizens safe. And if the people who are supposed to keep us safe aren't safe, then what does it say about the entire community?
Well, that's precisely what we were talking about this morning, and it's that's the attack. The attack is on that whole process. And if a police officer and a prosecutor are in danger for doing the job that you've just described, then we better rethink what we're doing in this country and in this state, for that matter. And this just drives me crazy to realize that this soft on crime attitude that we have now, where people who break the law are not being punished. I know Todd was talking to me a little bit this morning about the somebody said to you, are you guys making any progress? And you responded, what did you say, Todd?
Well, you know, as we were sitting in your office just discussing, you know, those particular things, you know, what I said when I was asked that question was, you know, as police, we feel like we're doing a pretty good job on our end of making arrests. We're making cases. We're able to solve crime, and we're able to do things to get those criminals held accountable for what they're doing. And then prosecution-wise, the prosecutors are putting the cases together, and they're successful on getting pleas or successful in trial. We're able to get them prosecuted. The problem is, from that point on, you know, we're just not able as a society to keep them in the jails and held accountable. And so these guys and gals that are doing the crimes are back out on the streets in a pretty quick amount of time. And it makes it very difficult for us to continue going after the same folks over and over again.
So go ahead,
Kathy. That's exactly right, because the law enforcement community does its job. And even if all the prosecutors do their job, we have this, it's a budgetary constraint. It's a money issue. Those are the things that keep being thrown up. And not too long after Fred was killed, the governor that was in office at that time pardoned a whole segment of, it says, Class D felons. Well, the evil one who murdered my husband was being charged with a Class D felony. So just because there's a different class, that doesn't mean that there isn't a danger to society. And I keep a pretty low profile. I did then, and even during the news coverage of Fred's death, I kept a pretty low profile, primarily because of my children and because I wasn't trying to gain attention for our family. But when those Class D felons were released en masse from prisons all over the state of Kentucky, I did let my voice be heard at that time, because that just struck me where I live.
Which governor was it?
It was Governor Patton.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the great
Exodus.
Yeah, here's what happens, Jack. In the 60s, the public policy people decided it wasn't the criminals' fault that they committed crimes. It was the society's fault. And so as a result, we began the process of figuring out how not to send people to prison. And that was the process. And the crime rate quadrupled, and the public got hot. And the legislatures responded with mandatory sentencing laws, and it took 20, 25 years to bring the crime rate down. And in 2007, the Lexington had the lowest crime rate it had had in 33 years, thanks to putting these yard birds in. And what Kathy's talking about is the people start to feel more comfortable when the crime rate goes down, and as a result, they forget. You know, there's some people out there that don't have our welfare in mind.
That's exactly right.
And so as a result, the expectation of punishment has dropped dramatically now, and you're seeing people that go to court, and they don't care if they got another felony. It's just another one. They just don't want to be incarcerated. And so as a result, they don't think they're going to be punished. And that's kind of where we are.
There's no deterrence.
Well, that's kind of the issue. Now, Kathy, I want to hear how you and your family are doing. How's everybody doing?
We're blessed, Ray. We have, even in 2000, after June 5th, 2000, everyone rallied around us, our friends, our community, and the law enforcement community. The Kentucky State Police and the sheriff's associations around us just took us all under their collective wing and just protected us and just made us feel safe and made us feel loved and nurtured us back to emotional well-being, I guess. But we're doing well. We are my daughter is actually living in Lexington now. She is finishing up her third year of pharmacy school at UK College of Pharmacy, and she's engaged and will be married next month in the Methodist Church there downtown in Lexington.
That's wonderful. We're going to take a break. Now, if you guys have a question or comment, we'd like to hear it. 253-5959. Touch *590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere. 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty@wvlkam.com.
Kathy, tell us what happened.
Well, it was... we heard the shots. We heard the shots. And Fred immediately told me to get down. I did. He got his weapon, and he just stood in the doorway and drew the evil one. And we don't mention his name because we don't want to give him any recognition.
Good.
Whatsoever.
Good.
For the evil that he perpetrated upon our family and our community and the legal community. But anyway, Fred drew him away from the stairs that are right in front of the front door where he came in and drew him to himself and placed two well-aimed shots and killed him after he had been shot multiple times, and they both died. Mm. But... my children and I are both living today because of it.
Fred's a hero. We're taking a break. We're back. The Forensic Friday, and this is American DA Live. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson is with us in the studio, along with Sergeant Todd Phillips from the Police Department and Kathy Capps, survivor of one of these senseless murders when her husband was murdered back in 2000. And I'm wondering, I know you're very active, Ray, in this Prosecutors Association that meets all over the country.
Yes.
Is this going to be a subject the next time you guys get together about safety of district attorneys, you think?
Oh, it's already a subject. I mean, it's been a subject. You know, Fred was, his name is on the prosecutor's memorial in South Carolina at the training center down there. But it's a big issue in this area, and I have no doubt that we're going to be talking about it. I don't know that we'll have any training about it, but what we'll do is just be, people just need to be aware of what's going on around them. And
will this promote prosecutors to carry guns, or do prosecutors generally carry them anyway now?
Prosecutors are by law are allowed to carry concealed weapons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is.
But it's a preference. It's not. It's completely up to the prosecutor, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The So, and that's the reason, you see, Jack, this is the reason that people get real fired up about this gun-grabbing business that's getting ready, that is going on, is don't ever take people's ability to protect themselves away, especially if you're shoving criminals out of the prison as fast as we're doing it in Kentucky and how states are doing it all over the country.
Kathy, did Fred carry?
Yes.
He did?
He did.
He carried a concealed weapon.
He did. And you talked about, and I have the utmost respect and unending gratitude for law enforcement agents every day who strap on that gun and who go out into society not knowing what they're going to face when they walk out that door. And that is what they sign on for, and that is what they expect, and they're aware of it. In the early 80s, when we got out of law school, that's not what we thought we were signing up for. Right. When Fred came right out of law school and became an assistant Commonwealth attorney. Then he was elected Commonwealth attorney in 1994. Still, the evil that has permeated the prosecutorial system was not prevalent, at least in our area then, so we still didn't. But Fred was always very aware of the danger and very protective of us as his family. And I can recall an incident several years before he was killed. There was an individual he prosecuted in Casey County who made a threat. And Fred took his picture and hung it up in our home office so he and I could always be aware of what that face looked like in case we ever encountered that individual. Well, that threat was, you know, he never made good on that threat, and I think maybe even is still in jail. But, you know, Fred was always aware that there was animosity and hatred toward the prosecutorial system, toward the judicial system. But, you know, that's not what you initially think of when you sign on to practice law.
Yeah, Kathy, I had our Attorney General, Jack Conway, on yesterday, and we were talking about this subject, and he said that he had 8 death threats last year.
Yes.
He said 4 of them, he thinks, came out of Eddyville. 8 death threats, pretty good amount for a year's time.
And the thing about us and Mr. and Mrs. McClelland, they were at home. You think that your home is your safe haven. You think that once you make it out of the courthouse and make it out of the parking lot and make it out of your office or make it out of the city and you go into your home and you close your door, you're supposed to be safe. And that's what makes it, you know, Mr. Hassey, the assistant district attorney that was killed in January, that was horrible. It was horrible. He was just doing his job, and he was, I think, in the parking lot of the courthouse or some vicinity near there. And it was horrible. He was just gunned down. It was an assassination, as you said. But Mr. McClelland, Mr. and Mrs. McClelland were at home. Fred and I were at home. We were asleep. And you know, you think that you're safe in your own home, but evil will find you. If these people want to do you harm, no amount of security in these courthouses, and I thank God for the security that has been implemented, a lot of it since and as a result of Fred's death, we've got an excellent security system in our justice center here in Cumberland County. We built a new justice center, and it's got an excellent security system. We've got an excellent security staff. If someone wants to kill you, evil will find you.
Do you still live in the same house?
I do. That's my home.
Yeah. Well, good. And because you weren't going to be run out of your home, were you?
No, I never missed a night staying there.
Good.
The Todd, after we went off the air, I think at the first break, and Todd says, you know, that's a strong woman. And we've known that about Kathy all along. So, but Kathy, I want to ask Todd now to talk a little bit about the investigators in Texas and in Colorado suspect were involved in the assassination of the prison chief in Colorado, and then the prosecutors and Mrs. McClelland in Texas. Todd, tell me about this group called the Aryan Brotherhood. Tell me about that kind of, that organization.
Well, let me start off by kind of clarifying something, because, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about this being a white supremacist group, and the Aryan Brotherhood is classified as one of the white supremacist groups. However, more than a white supremacy philosophy movement or follower, they're a prison gang, and they were established years and years ago in the 60s or 70s in the federal prison system, and they're comprised of folks that are very well organized and very, very violent, and they take a lot of pride in being able to reach out and murder folks. This prison gang is extremely powerful within the system, and initially, was just designed to be able to do crime and protect each other inside the prison system. One of the things that is really alarming about their abilities to reach outside of the prison, if this is in fact what's occurred, is the fact that a lot of these folks that are inside of this gang are put in solitary confinement, and their ability to communicate outside the walls is pretty extraordinary.
We got a call. Diane, good morning.
Yes, hi. I agree that they don't get enough punishment. These people do these horrific murders, and they seem like they don't care. They just keep slaughtering people. I don't know what we can do to stop it. I mean, the people can't really, what can we do? Have better, some kind of law to vote on to see that they get more punishment?
It just, what can they do, right? Ray? What can they do, Ray?
Well, the one of the things that can happen is, as you've heard me mouth for some time, Jack, I think we ought to do what Virginia does and what the federal government does, the federal system does, and that is abolish parole and require people to serve 85% of their sentences. Right now, the Class D felon, somebody gets, let's say they get a one-year sentence on a Class D felony, you realize that they're going to be out of prison on parole probably, if they go in the first place, in 2.5 months. Now, I'll tell you something that's interesting. You get a one-year sentence in the prison, you're going to be eligible for parole in 2.5 months. If you get a 365-day sentence to a misdemeanor and go to the Fayette County Detention Center, you know how much time you serve?
How much?
365 days.
And that's a misdemeanor.
Yeah. I mean, where are we in this world?
Diane, thank you. We're going to take a break. 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere. 1-877-777-0590. Or email jackpatty at wvlkam.com. And we're back. Ray Larson is with us, Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson, Sergeant Todd Phillips with the Lexington Police Department. Kathy Capps is with us on the phone. Ray, we've got about 6 minutes.
Okay, Todd, I want you to tell me a little bit, describe, tell us about this Aryan Brotherhood and how you call it the politics of it. Tell us a little bit about what you mean by all that.
Well, without getting into a lot of details in 6 minutes on the Aryan Brotherhood, you know, prison politics when it comes to prison gangs is something that it's really kind of hard for the everyday person to wrap their hands around. It's just different. You know, we're out on the streets or out, you know, in our societies where we're doing things. If somebody bothers us, you know, we might say something to say, hey, we don't like that, you know, and just let them know, even if it's an argument, that that's a problem. Well, inside prison, the politics of life are a lot different. You know, the things that we take for granted, you know, for instance, an extra plate of food or more time on the phone really gets escalated inside, because those things are kind of rarities. So, you know, whenever these individuals get into these prison gangs, those things turn into violence. You know, these folks fight and kill over these things on a regular basis, and that becomes the way of life. And that's, you know, so when they're reaching out and killing people, that is a you know, a rise for them within the gang community, and they're respected for that. It's just a different way of thinking that most folks would even be able to imagine on a day-to-day basis.
This, I did some research on this group, Jack, and this bunch, the Aryan Brotherhood, was this is what I read, was largely undone by a massive 2006 federal racketeering indictment. This Aryan Brotherhood took a similar hit last November when federal prosecutors unveiled a 43-page, 17-count indictment charging 34 members, 15 of them in prison, a violent, whites-only, prison-based gang with everything from racketeering to murder, kidnapping, conspiracy, distributing meth and cocaine. Now, the assassinations that occurred in Texas, those people, the prosecutors, were involved with the federal authorities in that indictment. And so as a result, there's some thought that this may be as a result of that. And
Are they all across the country? Are they everywhere?
Yes, the Aryan Brotherhood started in the federal system. Well, you know, they shifted a lot of those guys around early on when they were prosecuted for some of these racketeering cases and other things to different federal prisons around the country, which just allowed them to kind of reach out and touch other places. So they are everywhere. And, you know, when you talk about prison gangs or gangs in general, they grow and feed off intimidation. So, you know, this very powerful group that doesn't want to be prosecuted because they think they're above the law and above anybody being able to touch the inner workings of the gang. Obviously, if this is the case that they're involved in this, they're reaching out to send a message. And most everything that prison gangs do when it comes to violence is about a message. They want to remind you that, hey, you don't mess with us because we'll reach out and touch you. And that's what they do. That's how they operate.
A lot of these people, Jack, are under death sentences in prison anyway.
Don't have anything to lose, right?
Well, think about this. For all of my buddies out there that are wanting to abolish the death penalty, and everybody has to be a life without parole, let's put you in prison, Jack, on a life without parole sentence. You're never going to get out. And what's to keep you from killing a prison guard? Another life without parole sentence? Well, that's no deterrent. And that's kind of where we are on this thing. And these people are a little bit frightening. But, you know, the bottom line is that the police are going to continue to investigate him. The federal law enforcement can continue to investigate him. And prosecutors are going to continue to prosecute him.
Is it getting worse? Is it getting more dangerous? It sure seems like it is.
Well, this goes back to the idea that, guess what? There aren't very few consequences for breaking the law these days under our wimpy sentencing laws. So, you know, that's kind of where we are.
Kathy, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Well, the caller wanted to know what citizens can do. Encourage your legislators to be tough on crime, and most importantly, pray for your protectors every day.
That's a great That's wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for asking me.
And, see you, Kathy.
And always a pleasure to see you, sir. Thank you. And Ray, thank you. And have a great weekend.
You too, Jack.
Stand by. We have an update from ABC coming up next. If you're listening to WVLK AM.